Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. And as always, like to have you guys check us out where?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Facebook. Check it out. Put some posts up there on our Facebook page. Feel free. We're going to be pushing a little bit more on that to get some cool pics of whatever type of outdoor sporting activity you guys are going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into
lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Pheasant
lots of good
hunting.
Fall fishing. A lot of
deer
good stuff.
Deer hunting.
Yep. Turkey.
Turkey
spring. Pheasant's going on right now, big time.
Yeah.
That's happening. And no matter where you are, feel free. I know Erie's going to be kicking off in the big fall season, the fall brawl. So send some picks in for that too. You guys out fishing on Lake Erie, we certainly encourage you to give us some of those pieces, parts, and other. And we may have something special for you if we
bribery
possibly pick a photo that's photo of the month or something. So
bribery.
It's kind of cool. So we broadcast from the Red Wing area, and I travel all over the whole upper Midwest, whether it's out to the Dakotas or it's Wisconsin, Michigan, in fact, the whole northern tier. I travel a lot as well as the rest of the country in working in the job that I have, as well as tournament fishing. And what I always look forward to is the fall fishing on any river system, because the migration of fish, whether it's steelhead, salmon, it doesn't matter what species, the fish start to run and get into their fall and winter patterns, and they put the feed bag on no matter what. So the weather was nice the other day. Called a buddy and said, hey, I think the river's going to go. And we went out, and normally I will never, ever, I don't use live bait for the most part. And for jigs.
Can I ask why?
I just don't feel I need to. I'm a hair jig fishing guy for the most part. I will fish hair jigs till I'm blue in the face. And they are a great imitator of live bait. It's probably one of the best, especially in dirty water river conditions. And I found that through research that's been done at the University of Minnesota, some extensive research on color and water clarity. So that's what that's my go-to. My next go-to is going to be a ringworm. I like ringworms. I like it. They will slow the rate of fall of any particular jig, such as the hair. Hair is the same way. You can adjust the hair if you want a slower fall. Just take a chunk of plastic, put it on the hook, and push it up underneath the hair so the hair is flared out more and acts like a parachute. So you could really do some things with jigs without live bait that you can't do with any other presentation. So we went out and had a couple spots that we knew the fish were going on. And boy, I tell you what, we cast and cast and cast. And then I switched over to a Rapala jig and wrap. And right away, I think I picked up a couple, but it wasn't gangbusters. And I thought, well,
yeah, this isn't right.
You know, something's funky. So another buddy of mine had to go. So we fished for a couple hours with him. He had to leave. So we dropped him off and we proceeded to go further upriver and switched over to vertical jigging, which is one of my favorites as well. And again, I don't use live bait. So I went to my standard ringworm that I really like and started catching some fish. But the spot that we were at originally, I talked to a buddy that was fishing that the day before. He crushed them.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, well, what was I doing wrong? I said, what were you doing? Well, I was just pitching upstream and pulling it down a little, you know, tumbling it down. Okay. Right in the current seam. Yeah. Okay. About 16, 17 feet of water. Yep. Okay. Okay, well, something's different. Something's just, I'm doing something wrong. Go to find out, he's using minnows.
So live bait.
And live bait was the only thing they would go on. And it's so frustrating. And that's the one thing I think any of you guys that are walleye fishermen, you find this out. Just when you think you've got them figured out,
yep,
they do something completely different. It's kind of like women in a lot of cases.
No, it's like children. It's like children. I just figured
children?
Something
okay.
out, and then they change it.
But I think it just really kind of puts you in this situation where you say, you know what? You have to literally be prepared for everything. And whether it's having crawlers with, and they apparently work, but then didn't work. They shut off like in a midday for these guys. And I'm not a live bait guy, but guess what? I will be a live bait guy. I'm going to be going out tomorrow, Sunday, and I'm going to go give it a shot and see what happens. But, you know, it's, you really have to keep your options, letting the fish tell you what they want. Like we were saying earlier, you know, like a lake of the woods. But in this particular case, I know this river as good as, not as anybody, but a lot better than most everybody. Right. There's some amazing river guys that would just kick me six ways to next Sunday. And I'm humbled by how good they are. I wish I could be that good. But the thing is that you can switch up tactics, techniques, but unless you have and hit on that exact thing, sometimes it just doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter that the girls are going to go off the guys from Camp Mohawk because they have all the money. It just doesn't matter. You ever seen Meatballs?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic line. But it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You've got to have your options open. If you're a jig person, you like jig fishing, make sure you have the twister tails. Make sure you have the greens, the chartreuses, the firecrackers. And if you're going to fish air jigs, put a minnow on it, you know, and play with it. See how that's going to work for you. And a milk run is something you've got to develop as well. Don't be stuck on a spot. And the other thing in the river, the fish are going somewhere. You just got to find out where they're going and just don't get stuck in one spot. So that's it. Hang tight, guys. We're going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors right after this.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Hey, Ava. We start over again?
No, we're going.
Oh. You know, some intros are really special, Ava.
We're going. I mean,
I don't
know what else
I tried to
do.
Start over. It's not working. I don't know. You know, when if you guys only knew the behind-the-scenes things. So we record the show, and of course, I did a whole thing, and then I...
Had to redo it.
We had to redo it because I messed up, which doesn't happen a lot.
No,
I'm not
right.
I'm not trying to brag on that. It just doesn't happen often. And then when it does, then we have to go back into it. It becomes a very much a comical
inside thing.
Piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. Anyway, sorry, not sorry, right?
Right.
How about a big no? A story that I think some of you may have heard, but I had to bring it up because it shows, I think, some of the crazy things that go on. It almost seems to me like when people have too much time on their hands, maybe that's what it is, and have no knowledge of reality. The story goes as such. There is a administration plan to release grizzly bears near a rural community in Washington State. Representative Dan Newhouse out of Washington shares a congressional Western caucus introduced legislation that would block a federal proposal to release grizzly bears in a forest area in a state. The legislation would force the Department of the Interior to withdraw a proposed rule and draft an environmental impact statement that opens the door to release the apex predator in the federally managed North Cascades National Park in northern Washington. The proposal, unveiled in September by the National Park Service and Fish and Wildlife Service, was cheered by the eco groups, but criticized by local lawmakers and residents. Central Washingtonians have consistently voiced their concern and opposition over the introduction of grizzly bears into the Northern Cascades ecosystem. Yet, unelected bureaucrats from the National Park Service and the Fish and Wildlife Service continue to try and force the predator into the community. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on with grizzlies out west, and a lot of you guys that are listening have been out west, and when you go to an outfitter now, they're recommending multiple bear spray cans. They're hot wiring the perimeter of their camps. It's not good, and they're becoming more aggressive in many, many situations, and there's a lot more of the grizzlies, and it makes it much more difficult to go out and not have an encounter, shall we say. We've read stories about them.
Yeah.
You know? The story follows and says these agencies should listen to people who would be most impacted by these actions and immediately withdraw the proposed rule and draft an environmental impact statement so members of the region can rest safely knowing that an 800-pound apex predator is not going to enter into their backyard, said a Washington lawmaker who represents communities that would be impacted. The administration proposal late last month included three options, two that would involve actively restoring populations of the threatened apex predator species, and one option, no action alternative, that would maintain current management practices. As part of the announcement, the public is invited to comment on the proposed actions through mid-November. Under the plan, the NPS NFWS, meaning the National Park Service and Fish and Wildlife Service, would release up to 7 grizzly bears annually into the North Cascade ecosystem over the next 5 to 10 years.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I know. And the federal government's overreaching goal would be to establish a grizzly bear population of roughly 200 bears in the coming decades.
Do we need...
Yeah. If this part of our natural heritage is restored, it should be done in a way that ensures communities, property, and animals can coexist peacefully. Grizzly bears occupied North Cascades and served as an essential part of the ecosystem for thousands of years. However, the 20th century, as a result of aggressive hunting practices, the species was driven to near extinction, and the last confirmed sighting of a grizzly bear in the North Cascades was 96, said NPS groupings. According to the state Fish and Wildlife, unintentionally or intentionally killing a grizzly bear can result in massive fines, penalties, and species is listed as federally threatened and state listed as endangered. We've had previously provided extensive comments opposing grizzly bear reintroduction into our local communities, said the commissioner of Chelan County, Washington. We continue to oppose grizzly bear reintroduction given the likely negative impact to public safety, economic development, recreation opportunities, and the overall livelihood of our rural communities. I apologize for reading this whole thing, but the detail on this is really crazy.
Yeah, I guess I get that everything is in good faith, right? It's hard to imagine that they wouldn't bring this up without good faith. And I can see that they want to help out grizzly bears, but 200 in that one area.
Well, here's the other thing. In the previous administrations, there was opposition. Newhouse is one of them. The previous administration was one of them that opposed it, and they said it would not be restored in the ecosystem. And the former Secretary of Interior, David Bernhardt, noted in 2020 that the grizzly bear is not in danger of extinction, and his agency could manage populations across their existing range. However, late last year, following litigation from environmental groups, here we go, Biden administration announced it would again review whether to move forward with the restoration process. And fortunately, in the Rocky Mountains and elsewhere, they've demonstrated how humans can live successfully alongside grizzlies, utilizing effective non-lethal tools to prevent conflicts. And they were urging the Secretary of the Interior now wants to reintroduce grizzlies. And thanks to the work of state, federal, and agencies, tribes, businesses, and nonprofits, many people across North Cascades are already using bear-resistant trash cans, electric fences, and others to coexist. Problem I have with that is that's what the population they have now.
Sure.
That's not with the population that they would be getting to. They're managing the population to maintain where it's at.
And they believe that there's enough resources for all these bears too? Like,
apparently they think the resources, but the problem is that it doesn't matter. And this is my opinion, of course, my take. My hot take is that when you're in a situation, you can't go back and introduce where there wasn't a town before and say you're just going to put grizzlies back into that area and say, here you go. Just because you have grizzly or bear protected trash cans and people can wear bear spray. That's not the goal. What ends up happening is you have people that are not going to go out and enjoy recreational activities if they know that that's going on. It definitely is an issue. And it's not something that the ecosystem is undisturbed, right? Or it's a problem of collapsing. That's not the issue. So that's where I say, I think sometimes people have too much time on their hands. And really, it's political pressure. That's what it is. And I think it's wrong. It's just like anything else. It's like if it's a political football and it's not treated as let's open our eyes and look what's really going on in the ecosystem as far as what is the human impact on that. Prime example, town right not far from us, I used to hunt deer. The problem is they had so many deer in this particular area, they were constantly getting hit. They were constantly having deer and car collisions. Well, that's what's happening when you have that. But in this situation, it would be the other way around. People were wandering around hiking in the woods. They're not necessarily going to know what's going on. Guess what? They're not the deer getting killed by the car. They're the hiker being killed by the bear or being threatened. And if there's enough of that, then it's not going to work. And in my opinion, that's just kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Especially knowing my buddies have been hunting out there in the Montana, Wyoming area, and the impact of that particular growth in the grizzly population has been extensive. So, yeah, again, that's my take. Take it or leave it. If you want to comment, feel free. It'll work for us. So does your sound system too. But
shut up,
Ava. You're awesome.
I'm gonna fix that. Nobody's gonna have any idea what you're talking about.
Well, that's good. I just had my eardrums blown out. Speaking of blown out, you guys, I hope you have a blowout of a weekend. Have some fun out there. I think the weather is going to be good, and enjoy your time on the water. Talk to you soon. See ya.